All right, 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 3. The Bible says, "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burnt incense at the high places." Keep going. Verse 4. "Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offering on that altar." Solomon, you know, even Jesus said, was wise, or the wisest. Okay? Because he was saying, he that is greater than Solomon is here. Now, how did Solomon get into this wisdom? This is the scenario that got him there. The Bible said there was an opportunity to go and sacrifice or do a service in Gibeon. And it has not been seen before. A king now offered way beyond the expectation. And then the result was that God showed up. And God said, "I'll give you a blank check." Tehillah is a 24-hour praise event that we started about 5 years ago. And of course, standing before God for 24 hours will be sacrificed for many of us, you know. But in addition to that sacrifice of time, I believe God is also asking us for other sacrifices too. Sacrifice of resources. To partner with Him with this thing that He's about to do. One of the ways you can win battles in life is to know how to use the weapon of praise to do that battle. And the weapon of praise that we are going to raise at Tehillah is not just the praise we offer with our mouth. It's also the sacrifice of resources that we have done to make sure that praise comes forth. You know? And so this morning, I want to encourage you that you let God minister to you. I'd mentioned this about two Sundays ago, that you should allow God to minister to you that what will be your own take for Tehillah. Every year for me and my family, we always have what we are thinking about Tehillah. And usually it's the break table matter. You know, because I understand that God responds to sacrifice. God responds to sacrifice. In fact, if you know that any other deity they sacrifice to Him, it is because they found out that God responds to sacrifice. God responds to sacrifice. And so this morning, I want you to prayerfully consider, and then I'm going to pray because I believe some people are probably already ready to give their own Tehillah sacrifice this morning, or part of it. We're going to use the same way we normally give, but just make sure that you put on it Tehillah. I usually would have done my offering before now, but this particular Tehillah one, I wanted to do some of my own initial contribution real time, just like some of you will do it real time, and tell God that I am partnering with you for something big that you are about to do. I am joining you in something that I know will be a blessing, because you see, Tehillah is not just a blessing to sing. Some of even some of these ministers, many of them look forward to it, because it eventually has become some kind of platform for some of them to find connection into other things that God is calling them into. And so being partners of this Tehillah is something that even the ministers will be blessed out of it, and it will be something beautiful for you. So when you are giving through those platforms, please tag it Tehillah 2025, so that the finance people will know that this is not for the regular church offering or church administrative funds. I'll give you a few seconds more, a few minutes more, to package something. And you don't have to give all today. In fact, me, by the grace of God, what I'm doing today is an installment. And before Tehillah, I'm believing God, He will get me there, because there's a figure. When I told my wife this morning, my wife said, "Man of God," I said, "Don't worry. I'm looking unto God. I'm not looking at my account. I'm looking at His account." Because God is the one that knows how to supply seed to the sower. I've seen it again and again. If it is in your heart, He will bring it into your hand. I've seen it again and again. If you need an envelope, the ushers will give you. This is not the regular offering. This is for Tehillah 2025. in the name of Jesus. All right? If you are done, I want you, let's just raise our right hand, maybe not our device. Just raise your right hand as a point of connection for this, for whatever you have done or what you will later do. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to say thank you. We are grateful for the opportunity to partner with you, to walk with you. And Lord, this morning, as we partner with you for Teila 2025, we understand that when praises go up, blessings will come down. We decree and declare that blessings will overflow in our lives in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask, oh God, you will multiply every seed sown now or sown later towards Teila 2025 in the name of Jesus. As praises will begin to go up and you will smell a sweet savor, every one of us that have been a part of the success of Teila 2025, let there be blessings in our lives in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for Teila 2025. To you be all of the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. A louder amen. All right. Thank you so much for supporting us on this journey of Teila 2025 in Jesus' name. All right, I will go into my teaching, which I have already spent enough time. Somebody, I can't remember who I was chatting with, and I was asking about service, which I, you know, because I know the service is in the hand of God. I usually don't look back like that when I'm traveling, because I know that Victory House is in the hands of God and in the hands of God's people that are very capable. So I was asking this person, how was service? Ah, service was very good. And we finished very early. I said, so, conclusion. Is this somebody that makes you finish service late? What's your answer, please? Answer me. Eh? Who is answering? They didn't come. I know they didn't come. They can't come. Me that I don't know how to talk. You know, I went to speak. I was in Lagos and I went to see some of my eh? You said what? Shy pastor. I'm very, you know that kind of thing. I was at one place, RCN Lagos, and they said, Pastor Emmanuel, just exhort for 20 minutes. And I spoke. And I spoke for 10 minutes. They were like, ah, that was very short. I said, well. I said, well. So the pastor was like, ah, no, the next time. I said, are you sure you want me to talk? All right, but don't worry. I will do like I did at RCN. I'll give you back some of the time. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 18. We have been looking at this concept or this idea that we glean from scripture called masterpiece. Jeremiah chapter 18 and from verse 1. From verse 1 to 6. Jeremiah 18 from verse 1 to 6. In my Bible, it says it is the parable of the potter. Verse 1 says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, O Victory House, O brother, O sister, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the hand or is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. I want you to hear very clearly. I don't know what you think 2025 has for you. I don't know how you think this new administration will work for you. God is sounding this so that it will be as clear as noonday. You are a clay in my hands. You are not a clay in the hand of a government. You are not a clay in the hand of somebody that was your friend or not your friend. You are not even a clay in the hand of your parents. I know some of you have heard stuff like, we brought you into this world. Thank God for your parents. But most, not even most, every parent is a foster father or foster parent somehow. Because the real owner of child or the child is God himself. So he said, I went to the potter's house, and what I saw there, that the clay did not own itself. Someone owned the clay. The clay was not making himself. Someone was making him. You know, we call God the maker. But we think God is a maker because the day you were born, or because you came into this world, God made you. And you think that after you came into this world, you are now the one making yourself. Hear me and hear me very clearly. The maker does not stop being a maker after you showed up on this world. The maker did not stop being a maker after you got your job. The maker did not stop being a maker after you got married. He's always the maker. You know, when we sing that song that is a way maker, it's not only a way maker, it's also a marriage maker. It's not only a marriage maker, it's also a destiny maker. He's a maker all the time. And except he has made something, whatever is made is still fake. And so hear this as clear as noonday. You are clay in the hand of the potter. Let that sink into you. When you see challenges, I am a clay in the hand of the potter. That means that even the mess, he can do something to the mess and make the mess a message. The other day we were talking about mercy pieces, so that in the house of the potter, it's a messy place, but God is able to do something out of the mess. So this morning, God is reminding you that he is the potter. So I want to say, if you want to title what I'm going to talk about today, you can say putting your best foot forward. Putting your best foot forward. Don't forget, God is the potter, and I am the clay. The prophet Jeremiah said, he told me to go to the potter's house. I believe God still wants men and women to come to the potter's house. In 2025, the potter's house is the house of God. You know, so every now and then, when you and I have the opportunity to come to the house of God, we should seize it. The Bible is speaking in Hebrews chapter 10 and 25. Hebrews 10 to 25. It says, not forsaking the assembling together of the brethren. Not forsaking together, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. So the Bible said that there is a time going to come that people will start to forsake the assembling together of the brethren. And hear me very clearly. Most times people will talk about the fact that we are members of the body of Christ, that the church is not a building, that the church is a people. And it is true. But you see, the church is a people. It is not a person. So that means that when I am not with the people, I am a member, but I am not in the presence of the people that makes the church. It's as if we have to gather to make a quorum. We have to gather to make an assembly. It is not the building that makes the gathering. It is the people, but usually we gather in buildings. We come to the potter's house, and it is a good practice. There are many people in the beginning of the year, they will come to the potter's house, and then in the middle of the year, they will leave the potter's house. No, we come to the potter's house. The early church, the first church, what we saw with them was that they were a gathering church. They were a people that always came to the potter's house. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible even talked about the fact that it was daily. They were gathering daily. Some of us, I mean, we here now, we come physically or gather physically weekly. We still gather in another smaller way on Zoom and all of that, but we gather weekly. So weekly is not too much. I want to challenge you, make it your duty this year, 2025, to say there are 52 Sundays in this year. By the grace of God, I will get 52 over 52. The other day I was thinking to myself, I said, I don't have a problem with vacation, you know, and I should take one soon. God help me, in Jesus' name. Nobody is saying amen. This church liked me very well. But I was telling myself that no matter where I go, whether physical in this building or not, on a Sunday morning, as God liveth, I want to always go before the people of God. I want to always go to church. Whether I hold the mic and I say something there or not, I want to always go there because there is something about the house of God. There is something about the potter's house. There is something about gathering with people. Most times people think that when we gather with the people of God, most times people think it is a small thing. No, it is not a small thing. It is a very, very big thing. In Acts chapter 4, I want to read some scripture in Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, the Bible says, and by the way, I like turning this physical Bible. Some people might say, why don't you use electronic Bible? I do. I have a Bible here, but sometimes turning the pages is very good. Maybe God is telling somebody that in this year 2025, go and get a physical Bible so that you will not be distracted. Can somebody say amen? Because sometimes you find that as people can get very, very distracted as the old physical Bible. Acts chapter 2. Did I say that already? And let's read from verse 42. Acts chapter 2, 42. The Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the fellowship. So that's one of the things we get in the church, fellowship. I'll get to it in a bit. I'll talk about fellowship. And in the breaking of bread can be communion, and in prayers. That's another thing that happens in the church. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostle. The reason that there was many wonders and signs was that they were gathering together, that they were coming together. And the Bible talked about the part of fellowship. You see, one of the beauty of the potter's house, the house of God, is that there is fellowship. Fellowship is you have something to share, I have something to share, and there is common sharing. We are sharing something together. Do you know that just even sitting by a brother in church is enough fellowship? But we are not talking. Because you need to understand that there are conversations, there are things that happen within a congregation that is beyond physical. If you read in Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible talked about the fact that when we come to Mount Zion, we have come to the company of uncountable angels. We have come to Jesus Christ, the judge. We have come to the heavenly Jerusalem. There is something that happens when we have come together. So hear me, God is reminding us, even as we see from this scripture, that it is good to go to the potter's house. I want you to say loud and clear, say this year 2025, I will regularly go to the potter's house. Amen. So it's a good thing to be part of the house of God. Now, talking about what happens in the potter's house, the potter makes masterpieces. The potter shapes unique items. Last week, I believe Pastor Toko was talking to us about shape. You know, our shape. That's what happened in the potter's house. The potter begins to mold us into some fashion. He begins to fashion us into different things that he wants. And if you are in the potter's hand and in the potter's house, it doesn't even matter how badly things have become. Maybe 2024, he was trying to make you into something, and something happened, and the making was kind of interrupted. I have come to tell you, even with that interruption, he is still able to continue the work. Because with the potter, even a mistake can become a masterpiece. Can I prophesy to somebody that your mistake, God is going to bring out a message from it. That your error, God is going to turn it around and flip it around and make it to work together for your good. In the name of Jesus. So Jeremiah said he told me to go to the potter's house. And then in verse 2 he says he told me to arise. This morning I just did a play of words. And I use that arise to come up with an acronym that I want to talk about in the few minutes that I still have left before we pray this morning. And I believe that when it comes to putting your best foot forward, one of the things you need to do is arise in the way that I'm going to talk about it this morning. The A there is to appreciate where you are and be aware of where you are. Appreciate where you are. do a documentary, do an inventory. The shape, like Pastor Kwa was talking about last week, it helps you to calibrate and find yourself. Many of the times, many people want to find other people. Many people want to meet other people. But the first person you should meet is you. Many people have not met themselves. Many people are watching others, but they have neglected themselves. Many people listening to me this morning, you have made a wrong diagnosis of who you think you are. One of the challenges of modern man is an assumption or a perception about themselves that is given by other people, that is given by society, that is given by something other than what God wants you to be. And so this morning, when it comes to putting your best foot forward, you need to arise. And that arise means that you need to appreciate and respond or be aware of where you are. Locate yourself. Most times when you find God asking questions in the Bible, the question is not necessarily geographical. It's usually, where are you in response to destiny? When God was talking to Adam and telling Adam and saying to Adam, Adam, where are you? When Adam had sinned, the question, Adam, where are you, was not, Adam, where are you in the garden? Where's your GPS locator? Or where are you located? Longitude and latitude. No. It's, where are you in destiny? Are you aware of your place? Are you aware of your position? You know, in December, we're talking about kings and priests. And we're talking about the fact that it is possible for somebody to be a king and still not live like a king and look like a pauper. We're looking at the fact in Ecclesiastes, when Ecclesiastes was talking about the fact that I have seen something and I've seen an evil upon the earth, where I've seen the servants riding on horses and I have seen the kings or the princes walking on barefoot. And the reason is because the king does not know. The king is not aware. Appreciate and become aware. If there is anything God needs to do for you in this year 2025, is to open your eyes to see who you are. Is for you to have a revelation of yourself, a revelation of yourself in God, an awareness of what God has put inside you, an awareness of that which you carry, an awareness, the baby inside of you becoming aware. There are too many of us, we are pregnant with visions, we are pregnant with babies, we are pregnant. What we have inside of us is so much, but we are living like the prodigal son. But God has to make us come to ourselves. The Bible, speaking in Luke chapter 15, he said the prodigal son has spent all that he had in riotous living. He said, but the day he came, that he came to himself, he became aware, he located himself. I'm praying for somebody listening to me this morning that God will make you to be aware. You will locate yourself. You will see yourself the way God sees you, in the name of Jesus. If you want to put your best foot forward, you have to be aware. You have to appreciate. You have to come into an understanding of what is written concerning you. The Bible, speaking in Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 6, it says, I come in the volume of the book that is written concerning me. There is something written concerning you. There is something penned for you. There is something that God has scripted for you. The master, the potter, has already made something for you. I am asking by God that God will bring you into the awareness of that thing. I'm asking that God will help you to locate that thing. In the name of Jesus. Many people are born, but many people don't die. Many people die without knowing why. There is a why to your what. God did not just send you here. He didn't send you here to make ends meet. You know, that's sometimes when you meet some people, we're just trying to make ends meet. That's not why God sent you here. That's not why God sent me here. It doesn't, because ends usually will not meet, especially if you don't know your why. I have come in the volume of the book that is written concerning me. If there's anything the devil likes to do, he likes people to exist but not to truly live. The day you begin to truly live is the day you become aware. Your eyes become open. He wants to deceive you. One of the greatest tools of the enemy is deception. And the deception is this: don't know yourself, don't come to an awareness of your divine potential, of your divine purpose, just be walking aimlessly or doing every other thing but the thing that God has called you to do. But in the name of Jesus, you listening to me this morning, you become aware in Jesus' name. Arise. A for aware. A for appreciate where you are. Arise. R for responsibility. If you are going to put your best foot forward, my brothers, my sister, it's not only for you to be aware of what is written, of what God has for you, of who you are in God, of who, what he wants you to do. To put your best foot forward, you have to be responsible. Responsibility. That is sometimes where the rubber really meets the road. Some people are not unaware of what God has for them. There is greatness. God has greatness. God has greatness. You know, there were two sons that Joseph had. And when Jacob was going to pray for Joseph, or these two sons, Jacob crisscrossed his hand and seemingly switched the blessing of the firstborn and gave it to the lastborn. And you would have thought that because of that, that lastborn will just be succeeding all the way. But it is not so. Some things went wrong down the line. Give me Hosea chapter 14. Hosea chapter, I believe it's 14. I want to read. Ephraim had joined himself to idols. I just want to read that scripture. Okay. Hosea chapter 14 and verse 4. Is that it? Or is it 4 verse 14? Ephraim has joined himself to idols. Let him alone. Can you get it for me? It's in Hosea media. Huh? 4:14? 4:17. Okay. So, Hosea was now prophesying many years after this whole crisscrossing thing happened. And the one that was supposed to be the one that will lead, he didn't take responsibility. And God that orchestrated that switch, that swap, even God could not necessarily help him. And look at what the Bible says. It says, Ephraim had joined himself to idols. Leave him alone. He didn't take responsibility. There was something upon him. There was grace upon him. He became maybe aware that there was something upon him, but he did not take the necessary steps that was consistent with the grace that was upon his life. Hear me, child of God. At the end of life, at the end of it all, there will be nobody to really blame. There will be nobody to really blame. In fact, it is only somebody that wants to be lame that plays the blame game. You know, the game of nobody was there for me. The game of my background was the reason why my life is like this. The game of the part of town that I live is the part of town that make my things to be like this. God is telling you and I this morning that in the potter's house, we need to understand that responsibility is required. You need to be a man, a woman that is responsible. And by responsibility, you need to understand what is your own part in what God wants to do. Everything is all God. Everything will not happen by God. Because sometimes when we say we have faith in God, we believe God is a God of favor. To some people, what they are hearing is that God will do it alone. And like one of our mentors would say, any faith that puts all the responsibility on God is an irresponsible faith. God will not do everything. God is not going to do everything. You are going to do something. Yes, he's the potter. We are the clay. But there is a responsibility. There is a response. There is your own part of the game. You are a student. You have a response. God is going to give you retentive memory. He's going to remind you of what you've learned. If you don't learn, he will remind you of what you did. He will remind you of nothing, right? Because there was nothing for him to remind you. Responsibility. You are a husband. You have a responsibility. You are the wife. You have a responsibility. A parent, you have a responsibility. Somebody that is working for someone, you have a responsibility. Oh, this my boss is not a good man. It's okay. God will deal with them. But you be a good employee. Sometimes some people use people's behavior, people's the fact that they didn't do their own part to not do their own part. I was talking to somebody the other day. I said, something happened to me and I didn't like it. Somebody did something that I didn't like. And then I was responding to that person based on what they did. And God told me that I will judge that person for what they did, and I will also judge you for what you did. I wouldn't say that because it is the person's action that made you react this way, I will now say that you are free. No. You are still wrong because your action is wrong, not necessarily because you are responding to a wrong action, because you have also done something that is wrong. So hear me, child of God. Father was not there. Mother was not there. I sympathize with you, but this is 2025. You have to take responsibility. This is 2025, and we have been waiting and be sorrowing or crying over that spilt milk for so long. It is time to move on. It is time to take responsibility. It is time to say, God, if it has to, if it's going to be, I'm going to show up. If it is going to be, I'm going to stand up. If it is going to be, I'm going to get up. I'm not going to be playing at the backside of the game or of the pitch in my own life. Because sometimes the way some church people, the way some Christians do life is as if they are they are passengers in the car of their own life. They don't want to take a front row seat. Hear me, child of God. This is the year to take a front row seat. This is the year to say, whatever it's going to take, I'm going to give it. If it is going to take that, I will deprive myself a little sleep, I'm going to do it. Responsibility. There is nothing that God has called you to do that you won't have to show some level of responsibility before God meets you. Most of the time, God wants to meet you somewhere. He wants you to walk towards him. He's going to take more steps than you will take, but you also take some steps. It's not that, oh, God will take all the steps. He will just come and meet you all the way. Even salvation that we call free, God, Jesus came down from heaven. But if you don't go and meet that Jesus that has come down from heaven, if you don't accept him, his coming down from heaven will be useless for you. And so this morning, God is telling you, you are going to put your best foot forward in 2025. You will be aware, you will be appreciate where God has placed you or what God has placed inside of you. You are also going to take responsibility. You are not going to blame anybody this year. Hear me? Some people are going to blame the government coming tomorrow. Trump is not our problem. No. Ah, Pastor, you don't know what he said he would do. I know what he said he would do. I'm also reading the news like you, watching the news like you. But I'm not going to blame him. I'm not going to use him as my excuse. There is nothing that God can do that because Trump now showed up, God will say, ah, let's wait for Trump to go before I can do what I will do. No, he can still do, but I will show up. Some of you, this is not the season to now begin to go and hide yourself and put yourself in, because some people are already telling themselves now, I'm just going to be inactive. I'm just going to go and hide myself because something is going to happen. No. It wasn't not the time that they were killing babies that they gave birth to Moses. Did Moses leave? It not only that he didn't leave, he lived in the house of Pharaoh that was killing people. So that's a picture for you and I, because the book of Exodus is a book of immigration. Amen. So there are some people that Pharaoh may want to kill. They will live in Pharaoh's house. It's a parable. Some people will understand later. But this year, you and I need to be responsible. The I here, I call it inspiration. Inspiration. Why is it that we come to the potter's house? One of the reasons we come is to receive inspiration. There is a spirit in man. There is a spirit in man. Job 32, verse 8. And the inspiration of God, or the hand of God, quickens him. He inspires him. He illuminates him. There is something about inspiration. You know, when God touches a man and drops inspiration in him, it's as if the lights come on. It's as if that man becomes animated. And one of the beauty of coming to the house of God is that we receive inspiration. It's not the only place we receive inspiration. When we go into the Word of God, we receive inspiration. When we pray, especially praying in the Holy Ghost, we receive inspiration. If you are going to put your best foot forward in 2025, hear me, you need the inspiration. You need to be inspired. You need something to enter into you. You need the Spirit to enter into you. You remember that the Bible speaking in Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 2. It says, and the Spirit entered into me when he spoke unto me. And the next thing that happened was that I stood up. Sometimes when we are on the floor, sometimes when life has beaten us down, God, you just need an inspiration. You need something to come into you that will make you to stand up. And inspiration comes from very, very different places. I talked about the fact that it comes from just coming to the house of God. Very many times it comes in the place of prayer. You see, in this season of fasting and prayer, if there's anything you should do for yourself, have a notebook. Have something on your digital device where you are taking ideas. Most people, they always think that when it comes to breakthrough ideas, when it comes to inspiration, that there is a time, there is a place, there is a season, there is something. No, the way inspiration happens is that inspiration can come about anytime, especially if you are expectant that inspiration will come. So when I'm praying, I'm expecting to be inspired. So when God says something, I write it down. When I even come to church, I'm expecting to be inspired. If God says something, whether it is something related to what is being said or being sung in songs, I put it down. Because inspiration is very important. Hear me. If you don't want to expire, you need to be constantly inspired. You need to position yourself to receive inspiration. That is why any man, any woman that is able to pray, especially praying in the Holy Spirit, is a man that has opened himself for inspiration. It is inspiration that will illuminate you. It will bring light into you. That's why Paul was praying in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 16 downwards. He says, I'm praying to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he will flood your eyes with light. He will inspire you. There will be light bulb. You know, when you look at the images that they use to represent innovation, there'll be like a light bulb on a person's head. It's as if light has come. You didn't see it like that, but something just it just clicked. You just saw it in a different way. And let me tell you the truth. Many things are available in plain sight, but you don't see it. It takes a man that is inspired. It takes a man that draws inspiration, especially from the Spirit of God, to be able to make meaning of it. So in this year 2025, if you are going to put your best foot forward, you are going to arise. You are going to be aware of what God has for you and where God wants you to be and where you are right now. You are going to be aware. You are going to be responsible. You are also going to be inspired. I'm praying for somebody listening to me today, especially that person that is tired, that God, there will be fresh inspiration in that very place that you are tired. There will be fresh inspiration concerning that relationship, concerning that family member, in the name of Jesus. Arise. Appreciate. Be responsible. Be inspired. The S I put here is surrender. Yield to the Spirit. Surrender. Most people know about surrender when it comes to God, when they wanted to give their life to Jesus. You know, we sing songs like, unto Jesus I surrender. But you see, a child of God is a man, is a woman who should live a surrendered life every day. We don't surrender our lives to Jesus, and after the first surrender, we pick it up again. We keep surrendering again and again. I like the way Paul put it in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Pull it up, please. I am crucified with Christ. He says, nevertheless, I live. He says, the life that I now live, I live by the faith in the Son of God. Galatians chapter 2, verse 22, verse 20. Galatians 2, 20. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, or yet not I, but Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What is Paul saying there? I am living a yielded life, a surrendered life. A man, a woman that will put his best foot forward will be a man, a woman that is surrendered to God. You see, sometimes most people are not living in their full capacity because there is a decision inside of them that I'm not going to surrender this way. There are some of you have already decided in your heart that this is the kind of man I can marry. I didn't really want to go there, but let me go there small. And God is telling you that if you will surrender to me, if you will allow me, if you will yield to me, I will walk you, and where I walk, how I move you and walk you will be better than what you would have done for yourself. Some of us are, you know, yielded in one area or the other in our life. Some of us have given God our life in terms of that we have received the life of Jesus as our Lord and personal Savior, but we have not given him some things. Some of us have not given our marriage. Some of us have not given him our job. Some of us have not yielded or surrendered our finances to him. There is an area that is not surrendered. And hear me, and hear me very carefully. Any area that is not still surrendered to Christ, that area is a contentious area, and the enemy is going to hold you in that area. So if you are putting your best foot forward, be surrendered to Christ. This, my child, belongs to you. I don't only sing it as a song, I mean it as a reality. This my marriage, it belongs to you. This my job, it belongs to you. This my finance, it belongs to you. I don't just say it, I live it. I do it. When God gave Abraham Isaac, so that God will just check with Abraham, how surrendered are you? God now said, give me Isaac. And let me tell you the truth. Every time God is saying, give me Isaac, he's just trying to check your surrender. God does not need you to kill. In fact, there is no sacrifice you give to God per se that God needs. There's none. Is the cattle upon a thousand? Are they not his? If I was hungry, will I need to tell you? Remember that there was a time that Jesus needed to pay taxes. They were looking for money. They found money in the mouth of fish. Not a human being. You know, he could have said, go to the upper room. When you get there, meet the owner of the house and say, the master has need of it. And there will be money there. Right? But to show you that when it comes to God, he doesn't necessarily need human being. So whenever he calls human being to participate in anything that he's doing, it's just to check your surrender level. I'm asking you this morning, what's your surrender level? There are some people, when I was talking about Tehillah stuff, they just listened and just left. You know why? Pocket is always talking to them. If God says something and the pocket say, if you touch me, I'm leave Pastor Ijo. We that we have planned to buy the next iPhone that is coming out. It hasn't come out. They've not told us, but we're already planning to buy it. And the pocket say, don't do that. Don't do that. And there are several things that speak to people like that. But this morning, God is telling you and I, if we are putting our best foot forward, it's not only that we are going to appreciate where we are going to be aware. It's not only that we are going to take responsibility. It's not only that we are going to be inspired. There's a place of surrender. There's one of the things that God needs more of God's people today. Is a yielded people. A surrendered people. In fact, the best way to walk with the Holy Ghost is to yield. Is to yield to him. There are so many people, sometimes they say, I don't know that the Holy Spirit leads me. Many of the time he's leading, you are just not yielding. You are not sensitive to him. Because the way he leads is very gentle, is very subtle. And you may not know that he's the one leading you. For example, there is a thought. I need to text that person. I need to just call so and so. It's been a long time I called her. And then the thought is there. And it's, you know, it's just staying there. Somehow you brushed it away. And in the next, maybe like an hour, you see an incident that makes you now say, I thought about it too, and I should have called. The reason that you didn't maximize that prompting of the Spirit is because you didn't yield. If you yield in a small place, it will give you more information. It's going to bring more opportunities to you so that you will also yield the more. Sometimes people are looking for the big thing. Oh God, I want to be very inspired. But you don't understand that the big inspiration that you are looking for is waiting for your surrender. Where you say, God, not my will, but your will be done. Not my way, but your way. Not what I have already planned. Because you remember, we are still in the potter's house. In the potter's house, even the clay needs to know that he needs to surrender. Because the real big deal in the potter's house is not the house, is not the clay, is the potter. The potter controls the whole show. So every one of us in the potter's house, we just yield to the potter. And so this morning, God is telling you, God is telling me, if you are going to put your best foot forward, you'll be a surrendered man. You'll be a surrendered woman. You'll be a man walking and saying, God, you can have your way. Whatever you want to do, do it with me. Whatever you, if you want to speak, you can use my voice. If you need a place to stand, you can use my boat. Many things that you are looking for is waiting for your surrender. Look to scripture. Men and women who surrender things to God, God gave them more than what they surrender. Many years, Anna had been waiting for a child. And I've been saying, God, do it, God, do it. The day Anna said, I will surrender my womb for your agenda. I think you need a prophet. I think you need something. So God, use my womb for your business. Use my womb to do what you want to do. Use my business for your business. Use my marriage for your business. Use my intellect for you. What I know how to do, you do. Use it for your good. And God never uses anything and doesn't come back to say thank you. So God used the womb of Anna, and Anna gave God Samuel. And Anna did not end up with Samuel. Anna had many more than Samuel. Peter gave Jesus his boat. Peter did not end up getting only boats back. Peter caught fishes. He had, the Bible said, their net began to break. Hear me, child of God. The surrendered life is not a life of weakness. The surrendered man, the surrendered woman is not a weak woman. It's a very powerful person. It's a person that will not be working on their own power. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. How do I put my best foot forward? It's not as much as I can struggle. No. Sometimes it's as much as I can surrender. As I can yield to God. And I can say, God, have your way. God, have your way. You said I should forgive. God, have your way. You know, sometimes it's because we have not surrendered to Him that what He's telling us from the Word of God, you had in the church that day, they told you, we need to forgive. And you know, yes, I know. But not that person. I'll forgive every other person, but not that person. But this morning, God is saying, surrender. Surrender. Your best foot forward is going to happen when you surrender. Arise. Appreciate. Be aware of where you are. Take responsibility. Receive inspiration. Surrender. And I will speak of the number, the last one this morning. And that is endurance. If you are going to put your best foot forward, you are going to endure. You know, I was looking at the concordance and trying to look for the meaning of that word arise in that scripture that we just read this morning. Jeremiah chapter 18, where the Bible talked to the prophet and says arise. Some translation or some meaning of that word arise is endure. Endurance. Hear me, child of God. It is not only faith it's going to take. It will be faith plus patience. The twin power force is faith and patience. Many people know that, oh, faith moves mountains. I know that too. But hear me, child of God. If you don't add patience to your faith, you may have a shipwreck of your faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12, Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12, it says, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Patience is not passive, it's not being passive. Patience is just waiting for God. Patience is just waiting on God. Patience is just walking with the timing of God. Patience is not giving up before God shows up, because God will show up. That's what patience is. Patience is not saying, kiss, sarah, sarah, what's going to be will be. No. Patience is, I look unto you, God. I know you will show up. I am not going to conclude based on the present realities that it is not possible. I'm not going to conclude that it is not going to work. I'm not going to give up, because I understand that when I stand with God, it's going to come true for me. Hear me, child of God. This is the year you want to hold on to, to God. God can still do it. I know that when a new administration is coming like this, and so many nuances begin to take place, people will become a little too agitated, and they will go and do something in error. I was just thinking to myself recently, this whole war in Gaza, I'm just imagining, what will Abraham feel about? What will he feel? You know the war that we have in Gaza, or this war with Israel and the Arab world, that war is predicated on impatience. It is an Abraham war. God told Abraham, in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. You know, and that meant that he was going to have a child. And just to wait for God, he went ahead of God and went to have Ishmael. He eventually had Isaac. The war in Gaza is a war between Ishmael and Isaac. So can you imagine Abraham now thinking to himself, look what I created. Impatience will always produce an Isaac and Ishmael trouble. War in Gaza, also known as war in Gaza. And that means that if I don't wait on God, whatever I get will fight what God gives. So this morning God is saying, you are putting your best foot forward. It is not so much of the activity, because sometimes some people say, well, you know, I'm putting my best foot, I need to be making move. Sometimes the best and the fastest way to move is to wait on God. It's to wait on God. And it may look like you are slow. It may look like you are foolish. I've seen it again and again. Some people that look like they were slow, they look like they have been given the short end of the stick. After a few years, the people that went ahead of them, that person that waited on God, will not be moving steadily, will not be moving surely, and they will catch up with the people that went the way of another way that is different from the way of God. Many, I've seen it again and again. Again and again. I remember as a young boy growing up, I had some challenges with getting university. And I used to think to myself, all my mates have gone. Just like some people think now. All my mates are doing well. I've heard you. But somehow, God helped me. I waited on him. The day I graduated, I found out some of my friends, they were still in verse 100 level, or 200, or 300, or whatever. That means that what I thought was a delay, maybe it was a delay, but God gave me speed. So when you wait on God, it may look like you are slow. It may look like you are delayed, but he is going to make sure that you will mount up with wings as eagles. You will run, you will not be weary. You will fly. You begin to soar on the wings of eagles. Waiting on God is not a waste. When we wait for him, we don't waste. Hear me. Is it marriage? No. God is not going to mismanage you. Let's do it the way of God. Is it career? Let's do it with. Is it legal issue? Hear me. Let's do it the way of God. I know what I'm saying, you know. There are so many things I am saying in parables, but just hear me. In a year when another administration is coming and there is pressure to act funnily, sir, endure. Wait on God. Either we come, will come. He will not tarry. He's going to come. Is going to show up. He has said this is a landmark year. And for it to be a landmark year, there may be need to be landmark problems. Because it is from the troubles or the problem that there will be miracles. So don't be afraid. Don't fret. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like of eagles. They shall run. They shall not be weary. They shall walk. And they will not faint. They will mount up with wings as eagles. In the name of Jesus. So wait, I say, upon the Lord. Wait for him. Be patient for him. When God comes, God comes well. If God is delayed, it's so that when he comes, he will make it the biggest. If God is late, like somebody says, he wants you to have the latest. There are people listening to me. You have the latest house. You have the latest spouse. You have the latest job. You will have the latest legal victory. You have heard about other people's testimonies. Your testimony will be the latest in the name of Jesus. Can you stand to your feet this morning and speak to God? I don't know what anything that I said, I don't know what it did to you this morning. But how do you put your best foot forward in this year? Oh, you may not have heard what you think you wanted to hear, but I'm telling you, if you let God minister to you from what you heard this morning, you will be putting your best foot forward in the year 2025. Ask God. I want to be more aware of what you have for me. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I receive grace to be responsible. I will not blame the government. I will not blame myself. I will not blame anything. I will just take responsibility. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, in this new week, I am inspired. I, Gari Bokosadaya, inspired in my family, in my family life, inspired in my walk with you, just inspired all the way. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, I surrender. I surrender that part of me that doesn't belong to you, even unto you this morning. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Maybe there's somebody in this room this morning that want to say, I want to surrender to Jesus. I want to be born again. Or I want to rededicate myself to Jesus. I want that person to put their hands on their chest this morning. The best thing you can do with your life is to give it to the potter. Is to allow the one that made you to keep making you. Okay? Because he made you in creation, he can make you in redemption. By you releasing yourself to him and say, I surrender myself to you. So if you're in this room this morning, or you're listening to me online, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, and you want to say, Lord Jesus, I want you into my heart this morning. I want you to put your hand on your chest. And the whole church will say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and personal Savior. I believe your death was for me, and I receive your life now in the name of Jesus. From today, I'm born again. I live for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I pray for everyone that prayed that prayer for the first time, or prayed it, meaning it, after a long time. Lord, I ask, oh God, you welcome them into your kingdom in Jesus' name. And Lord, from here on, they begin to do greater things for you in Jesus' name. And every one of us in this room this morning, I declare, a season of arising has come upon us. We are aware of what you are doing and where you want us to be in Jesus' name. We take responsibility in the name of Jesus. There is grace supplied, inspiration available to us in Jesus' name. We decree and declare, oh God, in everything we are fully surrendered, and by your grace we will endure. We will not give up before you show up. Father, we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying.